Hello friends, it is 10 to 8 on the evening of Monday, September the 1st, 2025. We are back with part two of your double dollop of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast today, proudly sponsored by Stardust Spirits and Molecular. And friends, if you've already listened to this morning's show, you know what this one's all about. It is one of our annual highlights, hopefully for you, not necessarily for us, because it means us working way over the hours that we're actually officially contracted to do. Not that HR seemed bothered. Anyway, friends, deadline day is done. The window has slammed shut, with the slight complication, of course, that some of the deals haven't actually been announced as yet, which, let me tell you, friends, made for quite a sticky half hour of rewriting stuff before print deadline, because, of course, we can't actually say things have happened if they haven't. But maybe, friends, excitingly, we may get things happening live on this show. AJ, first of all, I'm going to come to you because there are people who go to another realm when the challenge is on. I'm thinking Michael Jordan in the NBA playoffs. I'm thinking Joe Montana in the Super Bowl. I'm thinking David Beckham when he played for England in around 2001, around the time he scored that goal against Greece, when he played like two men, when he pulled on that three Lions shirt. On deadline day, friend, you go to a different place. You engage Super Saiyan, and you've been sort of all things to all people today. How are you?
Hello. Tired now, to be perfectly honest. I thought I'd feel better with the earlier deadline, but actually, in a way, it's kind of been a little bit worse because everything's still up in the air, isn't it? It's nice to be sat here at 5 to 8 talking about things, but not when things are not there in writing and official. So, yeah, there could be some bits coming on as we record, but yeah, a bit knackered. I do understand this kind of idea that on deadline day, I don't know what happens. I go a bit mental.
Yeah, in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah. But like the last one, last year, Stu was actually working last year. He wasn't this year. And I just basically told him, no, it's all right. I'll just do deadline day. And then just did deadline day. And that was fun. And
do you know what you are? You're a one-man deadline day dynamo.
Like a little. Yeah, I'm going to go into hibernation Tasmania now devil. Until January. Yeah,
exactly. Ross, you were laughing as AJ suggested he was tired after an incredibly busy day.
It's about right.
What have you got to say for yourself?
I just feel that people who are listening who have got very, I won't say important jobs, because our job is important to bring it to his town
council
to the masses. But
serious stuff we do.
Yeah, it is. But there is people out there, I'm sure, listening who are, you know, probably doctors or whatever. Stuart Watson's a doctor. And, you know, we're not going down the mines or anything like that. We are just talking about your town and, you know, reporting on it. But
bloody feels like it.
Okay. But yeah, I just wanted to stress, you know, AJ's fine.
I would say what AJ has done today is at least as important and taxing as a brain surgeon, at least. Sure. Anyway, friends, when we spoke this morning, we were expecting a day of departures, which is kind of what we got, although yet to be officially announced, three of them. So five is what we're expecting to leave. And one of them came out of the old blue, which is quite fitting for town. And it sticks in the heart a little bit, AJ, this one. I'm going to ask you to kind of go through the five, and we have to start, I guess, with the one that it was unexpected. And when you first dropped it in the group chat, I was like, no. Ross, I think, had the same reaction. I know a lot of the fans have had the same reaction, because this guy feels like, as much as Sam Morsey was like the beating heart of that double promotion winning side, if he was the beating heart, Connor Chaplin might have been the lungs. Or the central nervous system, if you like. And he's going to leave, AJ. This one stings.
Connor Chaplin is the brains for me.
Yeah.
Because Leif Davis is the lungs. He has to be, doesn't he?
Three lungs, yeah, Leif.
Connor Chaplin, exactly. Connor Chaplin is/was the brains of this Ipswich Town heroic side that went on to achieve back-to-back promotions because of how intelligent he was, because of how suited to a Kieran McKenna team he was. And even in a season that had so much change, and in a season that involved him making a humongous step up to the Premier League, we got to see that. And for it to end, no matter when it was going to end, whether it was going to be last summer or this summer or next summer or whenever, it does sting. Now, the caveat to this, of course, has to be, hopefully, in a way, this might be a see you soon rather than a farewell. It's a loan move to Portsmouth. He's going to be going back to his boyhood club. But regardless of what's to come in the long term, it's just feels like a big chapter closing. And it's probably a chapter that I think a lot of fans and people associated with Ipswich Town weren't ready to see, given how important he's been, given how he knits everything together. It is a sign of the football club going in a different direction and taking a different step. But this is one that I did not expect at all. I heard some kind of whispers about it earlier this weekend and kind of played them down, thinking that it started on Saturday and thought, to be honest, it wasn't the kind of thing that would make sense given the part that he has to play in this club. But ultimately, cuts had to be made and the decision has been made for Connor Chaplin to return to the South Coast.
Right. Let's get Rossi's thoughts on that. You're the man with the fans, Rossi, and it seems to me, at least just going off social media, which I know isn't always the best indicator, but it seems to me like this one has really cut deep. And I know you yourself were pretty gutted about it when AJ said it was actually happening. So what's your thoughts on Chaplin, first of all, and then AJ can run us through the other four.
Yeah, very sad. Morsey was sad. We can name all of the ones who's departed, but Chaplin just feels on top of there. My niece, Alana, shout out to her. She messaged me and said, please tell us this is wrong. I went, oh, no. Sadly. That's her favourite player. So she's gutted. And yeah, the town fan base are gutted too. They're actually like going, Mark Ashton out. Don't like him anymore. It's a lovely, the feel-good factor was back there with the Nunes signing. And then this happened. It's like, oh, just gone backwards. But, it could have been Chapman's decision in terms of, he wants to play football. I know he started on the weekend and he's come off the bench, but he's probably going, you know what? I want to play week in, week out. I want to be the star man again. And he feels if Portsmouth can give him that, boyhood club and all that, feel-good factor. It's just a shame, especially I thought he's been pretty good when he's featured this season. He's made impacts coming off the bench. Yeah. Did okay against Derby, despite it was a frustrating watch. But I'm sure he'll smash it at Portsmouth. Thankfully, he won't play against us because I'm sure the rule is, loan players can't play. But yeah, the chapter is going to be closing on Connor Chaplin at the moment.
Yeah, obviously yet to be announced, but certainly expecting it to be in the course of the evening, as the other two, Wolfenden and Ali Alhamadi. That's an important point, though, Rossi, in that the erection has been, well, that's a terrible decision from Mark Ashton and the hierarchy, but we don't actually know. I mean, if Connor Chaplin, like for example Luke Wolfenden, who is slightly differently, I suppose, Luke, he's not going to play as a backup centre back. If Connor Chaplin says, "Listen, I'm in the prime of my career, I don't want to just be a player that comes off the bench at 70 minutes and hopes to try and do something. I think I can still be a starter and a star at this level, and I want to go and do that somewhere else." If you've got a player who comes to you and says that, you kind of have to concede, as painful as it is, because we know, town is all about cohesion and unity and everyone pulling in the same direction. So you can't really have a player who maybe doesn't want to be at the club. Now, we're speculating here, AJ, because we don't actually know. But certainly if that's the situation with Connor Chaplin, A, I wouldn't blame him, as I don't blame Luke Wolfenden for wanting to go and play football. You can't blame anyone for wanting to go out and play football, particularly, when they've already shown they're capable of excelling at this level. And B, as I say, you don't want to carry a player who's disgruntled.
No, you don't. And that is the hardest balance. The counter to that I've seen on social media as well, play him, because people think, well, Luke Wolfenden's better than Dara O'Shea and Connor Chaplin's better than Sammy Spodics or something like that. So that's the counter to it. But ultimately, when you go down the path that Ipswich have, and Ipswich have had to do it in a much different way because of back-to-back promotions, because of having to adapt to try and survive in the Premier League last year, it was always going to be much harder. And the buy-in was going to be that new players were going to come in, and I've used this term a lot, the water levels rise. And it goes back to that, where the players that we all saw be heroes in League One and the Championship, they go and become, well, what you want to become, the players that were like your Sarmientos and your Caden Jacksons who are coming off the bench and adding that quality. Now, the problem is, that's a hard sell. If you're Connor Chaplin and you think, well, last time I played at this level, I scored, what was it, 12 goals, something like that, 13. In the Championship, 13 in his last Championship season, and now you want me to do the role of super sub, well, I know I can go somewhere else and I can be the star there and I can have a go at trying to fire another club to the top six or promotion or avoiding relegation, whatever Portsmouth aims are going to be this season. And that's the hardest thing. You've got to balance in so many things. You've got to think about what's best for the player, what's best for your finances, what's best for your football club, what the fans are going to like, because that has to be a factor as well. All of those things have to come together. And yeah, that's the decision that the club have come to, that it's the right thing. The club can say no. The club can say, we'll accept this offer or this offer or this amount or whatever. But ultimately, with these three, and obviously the big talking point is going to be with Connor Chaplin, this is what they've decided is going to be the best for all parties.
Yeah. Just run us through the other four quickly, AJ, and then I'll get Ross's take on that quartet as well. And then I want to kind of reflect on the window as a whole and our kind of thoughts about how much change we've seen, because I think there's a very interesting chat to be had around that. So give us the other four, two of which have been announced. Yeah. And obviously Chaplin is among the three that have yet to be officially announced, but as you know, as we understand it, they are all done and it is going to happen.
Yeah. So in terms of the other ones, well, Ipswich had a 30-man squad over in terms of players over the age of 21. The obvious thing was going to be moving on, well, deregistering Connor Townsend, who wasn't going to play through an ACL, and then moving on four players over the age of 21 to take it back down to the 25, if that makes sense, the 25-man squad limit.
Yeah.
First one that we saw kind of rumoured early this morning, I think that one came out last night in terms of the first reports, was Chidozie Benne. Kieran McKenna had said on Saturday that they were open to him leaving on loan to go out and get to go and get fitness.
Game time, basically. Build things up.
Game time after, definitely not experience. He's got more than enough of that. To go out and build up some fitness after his Achilles injury last year, which surprised some people and probably also surprised some people that it was Sheffield United, given that, again, I know despite a poor start, we're one of the promotion favourites pre-season. That deal's done, so he'll spend the rest of the season at Bramall Lane. There is no recall option on that. So Benne for the whole season at Bramall Lane. Done, announced, all sorted. We've seen Finlay Barbrook, who's moved on as well. That one is a loan to go and get experience. It should be a really good one for him. Ipswich rate him incredibly highly. Senior figures at the club really impressed by him, and even more so after seeing him play against Bromley. McKenna highly impressed by that match, and as were a lot of EFL clubs, there were quite a few that were chasing a loan for Finlay Barbrook. Ipswich have decided the best move for him is Lincoln City, so he drops down to League One, where he'll join Michael Scubala's side. Good competition for minutes, but also a good team and a decent level for him to be playing at so far. And then from there, we're looking at the two others. Ali Alhamadi was one that we expected for quite a while. We didn't know if the injury would factor in because he's currently got a calf injury. It looks like it's not going to be a problem. It looks like he'll go to Luton Town. Slightly weird wording of this one. I had it described to me as similar to the Julio and Ciso deal, where it was kind of it's essentially a loan with an obligation to buy, is the best way of putting it. But deal like that, the blue code deal, but it's just with one buying group. So he goes out to Luton. That is an initial loan. The fee has been agreed and done already. That's £3 million, but it will be a loan for this season. It's what it will go down as, and then he'll move permanently to Luton next summer. So that will go down as a £3 million sale for him to go to Kenilworth Road. And then the other one, Luke Wolfenden, which we kind of expected, I think, for quite a while now, and Kieran McKenna's spoken about his desire to move on. Coventry had a bid rejected earlier in the window. Watford and Stoke were also interested. This Coventry have come back. It's a package around £4 million that will see him join Frank Lampard's side, who you think will be up there in the Championship. So, another one that will hurt, given he's a boyhood Ipswich lad. He's been at the club for 16 years, but for him to go out and play regular football at this stage in his career, I think it's going to be really important for him.
Yeah, and also with that one, of course, all that money is pure profit, isn't it, under the PSR rules. So that's all money for Town. So that's the other four, Rossi. You got any thoughts, particularly one way or the other, on those?
Yeah, all very different. Obviously, yeah, Finlay Barbrook, first of all, he needed to go out on loan. You know, did really well last year at Sutton United in the National League, and I'm pleased he's gone to a League One club. And Lincoln, to be fair to them, they've had a good start to the season. They may even push for the playoffs, so he'll be part of hopefully a promotion-winning team. So, yeah, good loan spell for him. Ali Ohamadi, a bit surprised about that one because of his injury, but some clubs are happy to risk, you know, he's going, oh, you know, may only be out for a month or whatever, and he'll be back, and we've got the international break. Although League One, they don't really have international breaks, so it depends on the amount of players they have, you know, called up to the international football. So, yeah, Luton have been obviously a team looking to sign him for a while. Obviously, Matt Bloomfield, the manager there, still, yeah? Yep. So, yeah, they've been chasing him for a while, it sounds like. So, yeah, a good move for him and not far away for Town to sort of keep eyes on him because Luton's not that far. Chio Bene, for me, I was surprised about this one, to be honest, because...
Surprised by him going out or surprised at the destination?
Both, really. Because he has been playing. I know he was needed to play because of the Omari Hutchinson situation. We didn't have a really out right winger. So, yeah, I thought he would just maybe stick around. But because of the squad limit, maybe McKenna looked at that and went, maybe best for you to go out on loan. And then it was actually Luton was a team we like sort of joked about. Went, oh, maybe you can go back to Luton, drop down to League One, get some game time, maybe go there until January, then come back. They're going to like a promotion rival. I know they've had a bad start to the season, but they're still going to be up there, aren't they? They're still going to compete with us. And it's funny that we play Sheffield United after the international break. Obviously, Bane won't be able to play because of the loan rule. But, you know, good for him, though, to get some minutes. And I'm sure he'll come back better. And then Luke Wolfenden, another player, part of the historic, you know, teams of back-to-back promotions, leaving. We spoke about it before, haven't we? But it's a sad one. But we said before, he wants to play. Last season, he was frustrated, it looked like. When he came in, he played well in the Premier League. And now he's sort of linking up with Frank Lampard, who they've had a good season, haven't they, Coventry? So they're, I'm sure, going to be promotion rivals again. So it's like, should we be selling? Should we be selling to promotion rivals? But if, you know, Wolfenden wants to go there, we wish him all the best. And yeah, I'm sure he'll get a good reception when he comes back to Portland Road.
Yeah, I also reckon he's probably getting quite fired up when he comes back, plays Town, because, you know, obviously feels like he's got a bit of a point to prove, hence him wanting to go out and play and prove he can still be at this level and be successful at this level. Before we move on to the window as a whole, AJ, Ali Ohamadi, £3 million. That's pretty good money, isn't it?
Yeah, tidy profit. I think I mentioned this in the pod this morning where I said, you know, how teams look at Ipswich coming down and know they've got some money because they've been in the Premier League. Well, people know that Luton have some money because they've still got parachute payments as a League One club. So you're able to push a little bit harder. And I'm aware that Luton obviously have ambitions of being right at the top of the division. So there's big pressure on his shoulders and in Ipswich's eyes. I think it's a really good return. I think it's a perfect move for all parties because we're going to have a reuniting with Matt Bloomfield and Ohamadi. That was a partnership that worked really, really well in the past. They know each other. Ohamadi's confidence needs picking up off the floor, doesn't it?
That's
the
big
thing because of... where he's at the moment and everything that's happened in the last couple of years at Ipswich. So, yeah, I think that's a move that really, if you look at all of the moves that have happened today or are going to happen today, this is probably the one where I look at it and say it's perfect. I don't think there's any complaints. Ali gets to go and hopefully go to the wishes of everyone at Ipswich. I know it hasn't really worked out for him and he's come under some criticism. He's given everything for this club, and I know it hasn't worked out for him. I've been a big fan of him, and I have high hopes still for what he can go and do in the game. I do think he can go and be a good player. at 23, you can't let a spell like this kind of derail you, and he's had a taste of what it's like at the top. So hopefully Luton, he can go and rebuild himself, and Ipswich get a decent fee for a player like him as well.
Yeah, just a bit more of bookkeeping and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. That's right, isn't it? The squad size then. So five departures takes them down to 26. Connor Townsend will be deregistered. Igeli doesn't count because of his age. But a couple of things also worthy of note within that 25, in that we expected Elkin Baggett potentially to go out again. He's stayed put. And the other one is Wes Burns, who we talked about maybe being deregistered for the first part of the season, given that he's still a way away from coming back from his ACL injury. And clearly they want to be careful with that. But they're both going to be in the 25 that are registered.
Yeah, they are. Baggett was the big surprise for me. I thought there would be a loan move for him, and I asked about that one quite early today. Did a little bit of digging to see whether there would be something for him on the cards, and no, there wasn't. So whether that team has to link up with the Luke Wolfenden departure, and it shows two things for me. The biggest thing is that he's got a part to play. He's signed a new deal. It's a new 4-year contract. I don't know if I had another point to that. I wouldn't say two, but I think that was it. He's only really...
It's been that sort of day.
It's been that kind of day. He's got a big part to play. And we spoke about, is this going to be maybe towards the end of what we see of Elkin Baggett at Ipswich? This was supposed to be the last year of his deal, and we're thinking, is it going to be one of those that goes out on loan and then it's a nice goodbye at the end? He might drop down a couple of leagues for a permanent move. No, Ipswich were keen on keeping him. He looks like he's going to be the Luke Wolfenden replacement, so you're going to have four centre-backs in the squad. The starters for sure are going to be Jacob Greaves and Dara O'Shea. Then you'll have Kipre as the main cover, but Elkin Baggett will be there to step in if needed. Bless you, Ross.
Well done. Well done for going on mute as you sneezed. And well done also for covering your mouth. You've been raised correctly. Before we get on to the big chat, which I think, there's a really interesting chat around the amount of change that we've seen and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing and what that might mean. Rossi, how do you reflect on the people they've brought in, the 11 that they've signed in this window? We said at the start of the window, didn't we? Oh, it's going to be nothing like last year. Nowhere near 12, probably 6 or something. They end up with 11 because of, surprising exits, essentially, we weren't expecting. But when you look at the players they've brought in, apart from, I guess, David Button, who's obviously just... No, I don't mean any offence. Third goalkeepers are important. But in the grand scheme of things, probably not as important as Igeli, for example, or Marcelino Nunes. Certainly not, Azul Matisiwa as well. What have you made of the players they've brought in? Are you pretty happy in terms of the quality they've brought in and that kind of thing?
There's a lot of unknowns with a lot of these signings because, some of them are playing in England for the very first time. And I think that's maybe why some town fans are being cautious. Although Azul Matisiwa has really proven that he can, play, in the Championship. Obviously, we don't know yet about Azon.
Ivan Azon, that's it, correct.
Yes, one.
Well done, Ross.
Yes, obviously the Norwegian wonder kids. Anything can happen with that, but a lot of money spent. And everybody else, we just got to wait and see. I hate to say it, but it's like the Paul Cook summer. Not as crazy as that, because that was 19 signings. But people are going to scream at me, but they just need time to gel, need to click. And, it's been a busy summer. There's been a lot of departures that none of us were expecting. I think even the club probably. I know there was always going to be a bit of a mix-up this window. Yeah. But a lot of it's happened out of nowhere, some of these. So players just need time, need patience. And I do really feel they will click. And the money that's been spent on them, because there has been a bit of money dove and chucked out. Especially, the Norwegian lad, that's a championship record fee. And there's a lot of pressure on that young man's shoulders. But given time, and I think this team is going to, click. I think the thing is, town fans are just so sad because of the team's been broken up. Like, we can't do that song anymore. Wolf at the back, Chaplin attack. Sadly, that's gone now. So we've got to find a new song. I know you said it in the group chat. doesn't have the same ring to it, though, does it? What? Dar O'Shea at the back.
Dara at the back, Sindre Wally Igeli in attack. That works, doesn't it?
Yeah, we can, you know, we can work on it. But, okay. Reflection, it's work in progress. I know there's a lot of Town fans thinking, oh, Ashton's sort of gone under the radar. He's not, you know, being his normal self. But we've done some good business. We've just got to give him time. And I think they'll, you know, work well.
Listen, McKenna is, you know, on record. He told me at the press conference a couple of weeks ago that, that there's been more change than he expected or hoped for. So, you know, that's not even a question. There's definitely been more change than he was expecting. And the other thing, Rossi, you have done an insight video on Sindre Wally, Sindre Wally Igeli, not Wally. Can you give us any, because he's a bit of a mystery. I didn't say this, I said this off after we'd stopped recording, but Stewie asked McKenna at the end of the press conference post-game on Saturday, what's he like? We don't really know, you know, what sort of player he is. And McKenna had a big grin on his face and just kind of went, he's very good. And, you know, he can play basically play all the forward positions. I'm really excited to have him. And he also said, to his credit as well, he's come and watched Championship football and he still wants to come here. So he's up for a scrap. What did you get in terms of insight to him, Rossi, without giving too much away, because that's going to go out as a separate bit of content?
That's some exciting stuff. He's a left-footed right winger, but he can play, you know, in that sort of in attacking role, can play out front if needed. The guy I spoke to, good old Will, he's an Orange Land fan, but he lives in England, but he sort of watches their games week in, week out. He thinks he's actually surprised he's gone to the Championship. He thought he was going to go to maybe somewhere abroad or a lower league Premier League team. But he thinks he's a very ambitious man, this young player. Check it out. It's a good insight on just him as a player, his different roles. And he does love a shot. Get ready for some weldies from this Norwegian wonder kid.
Like it. That's going to go out tomorrow. I reckon in terms of profiles, that's going to be next off the Alex Jones taxi rank as well. He's probably the next most interesting. I'm going to ask you both now for your favourite signings of the 11, and then we're going to get into the wider picture. I realise, by the way, as we've been talking, that already two of my pre-season predictions have completely gone up in flames. My surprise package was, of course, Chio. Does it still count if he goes and rips it up at Sheffield United if he scores like 15 goals and gets 10 assists?
No.
Okay, fair enough. My hot take was that Town, after the first five games, wouldn't be outside the top six. And now that it also can't happen, because even if they win their next game, they will still be outside the top six. So that's a shame, isn't it? Continuing my absolutely dreadful record of predicting things. Tell me though, Alex, who has been or is your favourite signing of the summer? Now we know exactly what's happened. 11 players in. Who's the best one for you?
Well, you know my answer to this question because I've written a little segment on it.
Well, I do, yeah.
Which you can read about tomorrow in a bit more depth. I'm not going to go into too much on this one. Azor Matasiwa, for me, is the standout. On a personal level, a Dutch player at Ipswich, as someone who grew up in the Netherlands, love it. Great. Brilliant. On every other level, I just think it's a really good bit of business and a really good bit of recruitment. In losing Sam Morsy, you're looking to sign someone who does what he does, but is also 6 years younger at least. And that is incredibly difficult. Now, not only do I think Ipswich have done that, but I think in terms of on-pitch ability, this might be controversial, I think that he's better than Sam Morsy and can offer a little bit more in certain ways. Really excited by him. I'm really excited by a midfield partnership with him and Kajusta this season. So, Azor Matasiwa.
I know, along the same sort of lines, I know it's scandalous to even utter such things, but one wonders if Azor Matasiwa and Jens Kajusta might actually be a better midfield than Morsy and Luongo from that great double promotion winning engine room. So AJ saying Matasiwa, Ross, what are you saying of the 11?
I'm torn between two players. Azor is definitely a good shout.
Darnell Furlong and David Button?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Experienced players at this level. We need experience. But no. I'm not being that ridiculous. I know I am ridiculous most of the time, but no. Yens and bit one, out the window here, or a little bit. Shot
left field.
One.
Yeah.
Left field, that's the word. Can't get my bloody words out. Ivana's on.
Oh, really?
Because, I don't know. I just I think he's a bit
about something about him, isn't there, Ross? Yeah.
As you mentioned, Enigma.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just going to, I think he could be the next Pablo Camargo, just that Spanish cult hero. Even for that little cameo I just saw, I just think he's just going to work his ass off.
Yeah.
And he's going to score some goals. But Jens, just, I didn't think it was going to happen. I just felt he was going to be too good for the Championship. And especially last year in the Premier League, I thought there's going to be maybe some lower league Premier League clubs may going for him or go abroad. As we said, he wants to complete the top leagues in Europe. You know, we thought maybe he'll go to Spain. Obviously, he was linked to Turkey and stuff. But no, he enjoyed his time in Suffolk and he came back here. And I was so happy to see that because he also wears my favourite number, which is 12. He's from Napoli, my boys, the Naples boys. So, yeah. I'm pleased he ends back, and I think he's just, we've seen it already. He's going to just be class in the Championship. So, yeah. I'm having two, so I'm allowed that.
You're allowed. So, you're Ross. You do what you want.
Yeah.
The other thing I really enjoyed about Azon on Saturday, just intangible stuff. Derby were wasting a lot of time, and every time the ball went out for a goal kick, the Derby keeper would really kind of labour about getting the ball back. But Azon was literally running after the ball as it went out and brought it back on the pitch and put it at the edge of the six-yard box, sort of saying, right, it's there, come on. He was doing that every single time. That's that kind of football IQ, which I enjoyed, and that kind of willingness to run and put himself about. Anyway, I would agree with you, Ross, and also Alex, actually, because I think if I was to have two, I would say Jens and Azor. I'm very, very excited about what that midfield could be. So time will tell. But of course, the big hope is that Ageli absolutely rips it up and becomes football's next wonder kid. So time will tell on that one. We are going to finish this by, as Ross has just suggested in the group chat, ranking or rating the transfer window out of 10. Before we get to that destination, I want to go on a journey around, has there been too much change? We know everything that Ipswich Town did in that remarkable surge to back-to-back promotions in the Premier League was all built around this very special group of players, all buying in, all trusting the process, all running towards adversity, all being the best bloody versions of themselves. Felt like they captured lightning in a bottle. And now that lightning has been allowed to escape a little bit. And you know what they say about lightning? Doesn't strike twice, does it? And from that squad, I think, I mean, there's been an image going around on social today, hasn't there, which has been quite stark in terms of the amount of players from that squad who are no longer with us in Suffolk. They are still around. They're still on this mortal coil, as far as I know. But there's only seven left, right, AJ, which is not very many in such a short period of time.
Seven left from the Championship season. That includes Jack Taylor, who obviously wasn't part of the back-to-back because he wasn't playing for Ipswich in League One. So yeah, there has been a lot of change. Is it too much, was your question? Yeah, I think so, to be perfectly honest. And you have to kind of see the other side of the picture, the other side of the coin, where how much of that was in Ipswich's control. They let Sam Morsey go because it was the right thing to do. They let Nathan Broadhead go because he wanted to play regularly and his boyhood club came calling. They let Luke Wolfen then go because he wants to play regularly. They've let Connor Chaplin go because, well, it's a chance for him to return to Fratton Park as a hero and play regularly as well. And you can go through and you can kind of see the other side of things from every single deal that has been done. You can see it from a business sense, from a emotional sense, from a football career sense, but it does feel like too much for me. When it felt, and I think I wrote it in a bit, I did a couple of weeks ago, it has felt a little bit like the heart has been ripped out of the Ipswich team that so many people have come to know and love, and not by choice. And I felt that Ipswich could handle that and get through, but now when you lose players as well, like Wolfenden and Chaplin, who have been so integral to all of it, are the face of the club on and off the pitch. Think about what Connor Chaplin, for example, does in the community, things like that. When you think about the leadership group that has been spoken of so highly, what, if you say there's maybe five players who are in that, you'd probably say four of them have gone. It feels like a little bit too much for me. What that will mean in terms of what Ipswich have this season, I just think it's going to take a little bit longer for them to find their gears. But yeah, time, as we've said a lot, is not something they've got on their side. So it is a concern for me.
There's a lot of pressure on them now, isn't there, to really kind of get this together very quickly. This whole new group of players, they've already given the other, you know, teams ahead of them quite a big head start. And now they've got to pull all this together under all the expectation and pressure of being still promotion favourites. They've got to find a way to get things going in the right direction. And as we've seen in the game so far, that there's not a lot of cohesion or understanding, particularly going forward. It doesn't feel like it's clicking at all. So there's a lot of pressure there. Let me ask you this, Ross. Would you feel different about this and the change that we've seen if Connor Chaplin hadn't left today? Is it Connor Chaplin and the fact that was unexpected and who he is and what he's meant? Is he the one that has kind of tipped over? You know, those games you play at the arcade where you have to try and guess when the coins are going to tip over. Is he the one that's kind of tipped over? And now you're sort of feeling like, oh, actually, I'm not sure about this. It's a lot of change. Chappers, he was huge. He was massive, but he's gone. Or do you reckon you still feel the same, even if Chappers was still at the club?
Yeah, I think there's two things to look at this, really. I think when Morzig went, it's like, oh dear, that is now the main cog of this team is gone. You know, we already saw Burgess leave in the summer. Twanzabi, that's like two core players and that, you know, regular starters. Then when Morsey left, it felt like it's a domino effect because then obviously Amari went, then Broadhead went. And yeah, I just never thought Chap. I thought Chap was going to stay here forever. I know he's obviously, yeah, you know, going back to his boyhood club. I thought he was here forever. I thought he was going to be like a club ambassador. He was just, he'd work at the club in some sort of role. I know he's going out on loan, but he's out of contract next summer. And I can imagine... That's another thing. Maybe that would have been nice. He got a new contract and went out on loan. But then
there is an option to extend that.
Okay.
So there is the option for it. I mean, my understanding with the Chaplin stuff isn't that he was pushing to go anywhere. And it wasn't like as well that Ipswich were going to let him go to any club as well. He wasn't trying to knock the doors down to say, I want to get game time. I want to get game time. I want to go. It was a case where the opportunity came up for him to kind of return as a hero and the opportunity came for him to go out and play regularly. And I think that Ipswich have felt that they owe it to him because of what he's done and because of the fact they can't sit there and say, you're going to start this amount of games at Portman Road and be an integral part of this team. So that's the way that it's kind of played out. It's not going to be one that he's been pushed out of the door. It's all on very good terms. And yeah, I don't think that Ipswich or Chaplin would have had that go any other way.
But is that you said you think there's been too much change, AJ? Mm-hmm. Is that the move that has kind of tipped it? Because if Chaplin was still here, for example, and Elkin Baggett had gone out on loan, we definitely wouldn't be saying that, would we? Or maybe you would. I don't know.
No, I'd be uncomfortable about it because there's been a lot. Still with Wolfenden going I felt the same thing with Wolfenden. But if you'd said to me this summer that Connor Chaplin's going to leave the club, I would have called you crazy. I really would have done. So the fact that he's gone does feel like this is kind of the one that's tipped it into levels where it's too much for me. But you have to be balanced and see these things in a different way. And you can feel concerned, but you also, I think, have to be able to see what the other side of things are, what it means for Connor Chaplin to A, go play regularly, B, go and return to his football club, his boyhood club for the season. And I think also in a way, respect to Ipswich for going out and making sure that happens, because it could have been easy just to say, you're not going anywhere. You're going to stay here and you're going to have this many games to play, and that's that. Maybe that would have been better for what's going to happen on the pitch. I don't know, but I think they deserve credit for kind of acting right by these guys that have got them so far.
All right, then. Rossi, in terms of the window as a whole, obviously now Chaplin is gone. Do you feel like, clearly we've spoken about Chaplin being the glue that knits the team together at times and, you know, played on Saturday and all that kind of stuff. Do you feel like they've got the players who can actually fill those roles? We know that Chuba Akpom, for example, is, you know, also likes to play as a 10 and has done it very effectively in this league, as has Sammy Smodix. And we know, you know, Chio Benny's gone out, but they've got Igeli in and this, that and the other. Do you feel like the players they brought in can fill the gaps, if you like, of the those who've gone out?
I think so. There's actually someone in, I forgot who said it in one of my group chats, but they said maybe Cameron Humphreys, maybe number 10 at Wickham. He played that role, so that's an option there.
We've seen him do it before at Ipswich as well. Yeah,
he's versatile, so he could be maybe Chaplin's, I wouldn't say like-for-like replacement, because they're very two different players. But once again, you've got the squad limit, and you don't want unhappy players. You don't want to like say, yeah, sorry, mate, but I'm going to have to leave you out, like out of the squad completely. So the decision had to be made because of that. But I think we're strong in every position. We've got too many right-backs, though. We have got four right-backs, but some of them can play left-back. So it's versatility, that which McKenna, that's why he recruits different players who can play different positions, because yeah, he may be a natural right back like Ben Johnson, Ashley Young, but they can play left back if needed, because that was a surprise thing as well. A lot of people were saying, you know, Ben Johnson's still here, but he's another player that can be versatile because he can also play forward, right forward as well, so he can sort of take over that Chirac Bene role. So, yeah, I think we're stocked in pretty much every position. I know Azor Matasiwa replacement. I know that's what AJ wanted. But fingers crossed, head up and wood and all that, I think Matasiwa will be fine. He won't get any injuries. I bet the next game he gets injured in bloody training. But, yeah, he'll be fine.
He looks like the sort of guy who, if you ran into a bus, the bus would come off worse. It's just whether or not he gets suspended, I think, is probably the bigger risk with him. That's the other question to lead on to before we rank this window, AJ, is your thoughts on the squad in terms of balance, because Ross makes a good point there. There are like four right backs now. There's no left back cover. I know Jacob Greaves can play there. And there's no obvious player who can step up and fill the Azor Matasiwa role if indeed he does get suspended or indeed injured, God forbid.
Yeah, exactly that. Those are definitely the areas that I'd worry about the most. If Leif Davis was to be unavailable, it would be a case of, I think, Ashley Young now being the most likely cover. Then you'd look at Jacob Greaves. But if you move Jacob Greaves into that position, you're not exactly well-stocked in centre-backs. And it's a big ask, I'd say, to get Elkin Baggett playing, let's say, consistent championship football, if that was what he needed to do and needed to step up. And then with Matasiwa, I have a feeling we're going to see some Sam Morsy-esque tightrope walking, like we saw in the last championship season. I remember going to Watford away thinking, oh my God, is he going to miss the Norwich game? Oh, if he gets booked today, I wouldn't play him, you know. I'd rather lose here and have Morsy available for the Norwich game if we rest him against Watford, all those kind of things. And I think that could be the case again. We might see a bit of that this season. So that does worry me. There is a chance, of course, in January to look at different positions. But I think Ipswich have found this squad reshaping to be really, really difficult with so many moving parts and players, like two key players that are moved on deadline day, for example. You don't always know what's going to happen you don't know what's going to happen next week. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow when you're in a transfer window. And that's so hard to prepare for. Maybe it's been a little bit of an eye opener as well, where this is the first summer in quite a while. I guess last season was different in that it was recruiting for the Premier League, but a different style of recruitment, wasn't it, this year, and a different approach that they had to have that made it quite difficult.
Are you looking forward to the next presser with Kieran McKenna? Looking forward to speaking to Kieran about it, because I think, you know, a justified question would be just that. Has there been too much change? We've already said he's already admitted there's been more than he expected. So, you know, has it been too much?
Am I looking forward to the next presser? I can see me missing the train back because I think it's going to be about 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest. But yeah, I think it would be good to see what the thinking behind these decisions is, to be honest, and see how the mindset's been. Is it one where we spoke to McKenna before about Nathan Broadhead and Sam Morsey said, I didn't want to lose them, they wanted to go. Is that going to be the same with, well, we know it is with Luke Wolfenden, but is it with Chaplin? Is there going to be a sense of frustration with how the transfer window's panned out? Is he happy with what he's got? I mean, the understanding that we've had today is that they weren't going to push for any more signings because he's content with the squad, and he's someone that I'm sure would have signed off on all of these deals. But I think it would be good to get his thoughts on where this group is at. Is it too much change, and how do they go about matching these expectations that are through the roof at the moment, aren't they, in terms of what they have to go and deliver on with a squad that has so many new bonds to try and build in hours, days, maybe weeks of push.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that will be quite a long press conference because Kieran is very generous and thoughtful, isn't he, with his answers usually. So I can't see him going, I just don't want to talk about it. And B, there was a bit in his presser on Saturday where he referred to the start of the season. I think we played it this morning, actually. But he said, in a way, it's exciting that we've got this expectation, we've got this new group, and now we've got to kind of make it work. That's a challenge for him. And it's going to be one of the biggest challenges he's had at Town, certainly, in terms of building this new group, this new team, and get it to where everyone expects it to be. Right then. So at least he knows what he's got. The window's closed. And he can start building that. How then, friends, do you rate this window? Because, you know, when you come up with a number out of 10, I'm not allowing half points, by the way. When you come up with a number out of 10, obviously you have to trade off the 11 signings they've made against really quite a lot of painful departures we've seen this summer. And the fact that, as you say, AJ, McKenna has name-checked Morsey, Burgess, Wolfenden. Who else did he say that he didn't want to go? Remind me.
So most of them, to be fair. Twan yeah. Zebe, Amari.
Yeah, yeah. So all these players, he said they didn't want to lose. But clearly a lot of them have gone. So I'm going to ask you first, Ross, because it's your idea and I like it. And everyone likes a little rating out of 10, don't they? Human nature to like this sort of thing. So give me a rating for this transfer window, this summer window, at Ipswich Town.
7 out of 10.
Is that good?
Yes. I think it's gone down because Chaplin's departure. It's more just the sentimental side of me. It was probably going to be 8 because of the Nunes signing and all that jazz. But because Chaplin's gone, I think it's more the departures have been the main factor of this window. I think that's, once again, you've got that sentimental team, that back-to-back promotion winning team. A lot of those have gone. But in terms of improving, and there's a lot of unknowns, once again, as we said before. I think that's what a lot of people are a bit worried about, because there's some who have never played in the Championship before. But as a whole, I think we've done some good business. We're strengthened in different areas, and some of them have already proven that they've, as all matters here, world's class, Jens Kuste, we know all about him. So I think 7 out of 10 is fair, in my opinion. Some people may think that's low. Some people think it may be too high. But 7 out of 10, I think, is pretty solid. And we've been able to bring, 11. It's probably more than I was expecting. But because we had the departures, it was needed. So, 7 out of 10. I'm interested to see what you guys are going to say.
I'm very interested, because I'll be honest, when I came to you, I thought you might say lower than that. Given I know what you've been cut, you've been hurt by Chappers. AJ, Ross is saying 7, which is average, I guess. What are you going to say?
I was going to originally say 7.
Right.
For,
you can say the same thing.
Okay. Can I? Yeah, I don't want to give off too many negative vibes. I thought, do I go lower? But then, with the amount they've spent and they've tried to be ambitious, and as I've spoken about, the departing players has not been through choice in quite a lot of times, and they've acted nobly with a lot of the players that they would have liked to have kept, then, I think 7 is fair. It's just a balance, isn't it, where they've been brave in recruitment, but also some of it has felt muddled and a little bit weird. Like, there's still some deals that I can't quite figure out. I don't really want to name names. I feel that's harsh, but McAteer and Furlong are two where I look at them and think, I'm not too sure, and I really hope that they can both come in and deliver. But there's been a couple of times I've just looked at what they've done and thought, that's bizarre. But I also can't criticise the ambition that they've had. And I don't want to go too hard, as I said, on the departures, knowing that they've done the right thing for these players that have served them well, and for ones who've pushed for a move and kind of gone the wrong way about it, let's say, they've been able to maximise the profit massively in terms of what they've got from them or him. So all in all, I think fairly happy, but there's still tinges of concern within that.
Yeah, I would go one lower. I would say six for me, but based on the amount of change and the fact that we know McKenna wanted to keep quite a lot of those players and now has a huge challenge in terms of kind of bringing about that same culture and feeling of unity among players who, let's be honest, have come in for a lot of money, a lot of them. And well, then when you're signing players for that sort of money, they expect to play, they expect to start. No one's going to be interested in coming off the bench. Oh, you can find 20 minutes. It's really important. What? I'm worth 20 million. I want to start. So that's going to be really interesting. So I think it's a huge challenge for McKenna and his entire coaching staff. It's going to be really interesting to see if he can do it or not, because he's got a lot of pressure on him, and it's not plucky Ipswich Town anymore in the Championship, having come up from League One. It's Ipswich Town expected to get promoted this season. And, you know, if they're not at least up there in the mix, that's going to be tough to swallow. So very, very interesting time ahead, I think. Anything else to mention, boys? I'm starving. I made my dinner, my wife's dinner, actually, about 2 hours ago. Turkey lasagna, if you're asking. I haven't eaten yet. And I bet, Alex, you probably haven't. Although, has your mum brought you in some sandwiches or something? Mrs. Jones?
Not yet, no. I think there might be some pasta upstairs. That being said, with the way things are looking, I don't think I'll be eating that at least.
No, we've got, between 9 and 9:30 is going to be busy, isn't it?
I'd say so, just looking at it, probably will be a busy period is my gut feeling.
We're going to be wolfing down some dinner, hopefully. Ross, I bet you've, that wasn't a pun. Ross, have you had some eggs for dinner?
No, that's my lunch. I've had some pasta. I just made a quick pasta dinner, mushroom
pappardelle.
Yes, the one.
Pappardelle. Lovely stuff. You are a reminder. Ross is Italian.
You got
Italian blood in you, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, but I'm Suffolk, aren't I?
You're very Suffolk. Absolutely.
I can't pronounce things sometimes, but that was nice. So I got that down me before did the Barbrook loan. So story.
Excellent.
So, but no, deadline day is done, boys. Transfer rumours done. Although I'm sure there'll be still some that will float about, won't there?
We're not doing them. Not doing them at all until January. Not interested. That's my line, and I'm sticking to it. But yes, friends, we come to the end of another podcast. I would say, by the way, I had time on my run earlier, Ross, to think about the egg ranking. I'd definitely go scrambled, poached. Interesting debate whether round poached eggs are posh. I'd definitely be in the, they are slightly posh. And then I'd go boiled with, dippy egg with soldiers, and then fried right at the bottom. Although if you're putting scotch egg in there, that immediately goes right to the top. That's a whole different section though, isn't it, of egg in terms of ranking it. Friends, just a reminder then, support our sponsors, use the code KOA at stardustspirits.co.uk for 20% off all the excellent alcoholic beverages and flavourings that Gary and the team there are putting together. And also, Molecular UK, our new sponsor. If you use the code KOA10 at checkout at www.molecular-uk.com, you get 10% off all their excellent and soon to be in the possession of Heath, hopefully, car cleaning stuff. And they do have an incredible amount of stuff, which I'm looking forward to getting stuck into. Boys, is there anything else to mention? This has been a double dollop of Kings of Anglia today. I don't think we've done this before on deadline day. We brought you a show earlier today reflecting on the four signings from last week and the Derby County car crash of a game and all the controversy around that. Now we've given you a live, well, it's not live, but a late night deadline day reaction, which we always try and do. So double dollop. Hope you've enjoyed it. Anything else from you boys to mention?
international duties coming up soon.
Oh, piss off. Ooh, I can't wait for a preview of that.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you must make that a priority action item later this week, AJ. Oh, yes. Excellent. I know you're looking forward to it. Ross, anything else from you?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm going to lay down because I'm knackered.
Yeah. Oi! There we go. Shots fired. I say, if you're watching on video, I do apologize for that. What would we call that? A gesture, an aggressive gesture from young AJ. Can't believe it. It's all going to pot as we approach 10 to 9 on deadline day, because we know the next half hour or so is going to be busy. Friends, I hope you've enjoyed this show. I hope you've enjoyed both shows today. The transfer window of the summer 2025 has slammed shut. And we know exactly what Town have got to get. There is one big question, which we're going to find the answer out now, though, of course, is at Ipswich Town, can we still trust the process, or are Town perhaps tumbling towards trouble? We're going to find it all out in the coming games, the coming months. Follow it all with us. I should mention we've got a £3 for 3 months offer on as well, so jump on the digital subscription, follow it all with us. It's going to be fascinating however it goes. Deadline done. Next up, it's only Sheffield United. That's a big one as well, isn't it? It's very exciting. Friends, I hope you enjoyed deadline day. We'll be back later on this week, hopefully, to talk more about Ipswich Town. Have a good one.